Thank you for joining us for the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. Today we'll be continuing our series, Nothing Will, as we journey through the book of Romans. The title of today's message is People of Impact. If God has used this ministry to impact your life, we'd love to hear about it. So please shoot us an email at amen@r4sq.org. Now prepare your hearts to hear a word from God today.
So Romans chapter 12, we're continuing our series from the book of Romans entitled Nothing Will. And today we're going to begin reading in chapter 12, verse 1. And Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be what? Do not be what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If that gift is prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Prophetic word came forth this morning. A ministry, let us use it in our ministering or in our serving. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy, show mercy with cheerfulness. Father, thank you for your word. Now bless the speaking of it, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Today I'm going to speak to you about being people of impact. Being a people of impact. You know, there are many components to us being people of impact. But in these verses, Paul writes about three things that when these things are present in our lives, these things will enable us to impact the people we come in contact with in a significant way. Three things that transforms us into people of influence. Because God would have us to be influencers of the people that we are around so that his kingdom advances beyond the transformation that's happening inside of us personally. Are you being a person of impact for Jesus? If not, why? What is it that keeps you from being a man or a woman of influence? What is it that keeps you from touching the lives of others with the love of Jesus in such a way that they're changed by that touch? Paul starts out in these verses telling us to give our lives to God as living sacrifices, which he describes as our reasonable service. A reasonable act of worship. A reasonable way to let God know that we love him. As it was in the Old Testament, the offering up of sacrifices, please hear me, is still part of worship to God today. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and he bridged the Old Testament with the New Testament. He fulfilled for us what God required sacrificially to atone our sins. A sacrifice that required his physical death. But the sacrifice that God requires of us today is not in the giving of our lives by dying as Jesus died a physical death, but in the giving of our lives by living for him, in dying to self and living for him. We're now to present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And living for God isn't unreasonable.
Amen.
Amen. Living for God isn't unreasonable.
Amen.
It is expected by God that you live for him. And if you're not living for him, you're not doing what he considers reasonable.
Amen.
It is expected of you. That your form of worship to God, your reasonable act of service to him, is that you give him your all. Some translations use the word worship instead of the word service in Romans 12:1. And the Greek word that was translated, that was used here, referred to ceremonies of Jewish temple worship. So Paul is comparing our acts of service, which are our acts of worship, to what took place in the Jewish temple when they offered up animals. Pastor Jack Hayford offers this commentary on Romans 12:1. He writes, "Our act of consecration, being a living sacrifice unto the Lord, is a supreme form a religious service. It is physical in that our bodies are presented in worship. It is rational in that our reasoning is responsive to his truth. It is emotional in that his mercies are perceived by us and awaken our sensitivities to his loving kindness. And it is spiritual in that this is all the fruit of his spirit reviving and renewing our spirits." I want to read Romans 12:1-2 from the Message Bible. Listen to what it says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. God wants us to offer our lives to him as living sacrifices by putting all our energy and all of our resources at his disposal and trusting him to guide us through life. That is what it means to be a living sacrifice for God. And when you give yourself to him as a living sacrifice, he works in you to transform you into a person of impact. But if you do not give yourself to him as a living sacrifice, you will never become the man or woman of influence that you can be. I'm not saying you will not have some influence over people, but I'm saying you will not be all that God would have you be. When God transforms us into people of impact, we become men and women who are moving in the power and the authority of God Almighty. So the first thing that Paul writes about here that transforms us into people of impact is to be living sacrifices of God. To be the man or woman of impact God will have you be, you must invite him, God, into every aspect of your life. Listen to me. If you have compartments of your life that God is not allowed into, those areas of your life are dead to him. They're dead to him. Those are areas where you're not being a living sacrifice to God. So stop compartmentalizing your life. You say, how do I do that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. You do that by making sure everything you do is done in accordance to this word.
Amen. Amen.
If you do not, you've compartmentalized certain parts of your life. And you said, God, I let you in here. But God, you can't touch this. Lord, I'm open to your spirit here. But God, this thing right here, I got to do this on my own. This work of the flesh, this thing that makes me feel good, make me feel good about myself, God, I got to take care of that on my own. Stop compartmentalizing. The next thing that Paul writes about here that transforms us into people of impact is having our minds transformed or renewed from the world's way of thinking. And boy, in light of all that's going on in our nation today, do we ever need to make sure we're not thinking and acting like the world?
Amen.
Romans 12:2 from the New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Even after giving your life to Jesus, there's still the work of transformation that your mind must go through. When you got saved, your spirit was renewed, but your mind was not. Now you have to let the word of God transform or change your mind. Ephesians 4:23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 5:26 says, the Lord sanctifies and cleanses the church with the washing of water by the word. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed this for us, his followers. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So it is the word of God that renews, sanctifies, transform our mind. To be a person of great impact, your mind must be renewed. It must be renewed. The phrase copy the behavior and customs comes from a Greek word that compares to our English words scheme or schematic. And it refers to conforming to a model or to a pattern. Paul is saying, listen, don't conform to the model that the world is presenting to you. Don't conform to the pattern that you see out there in the world, but let the Lord transform your mind. This word only occurs one more place in the New Testament, and that's in 1 Peter 1:14, where it describes people conforming themselves to worldly lust. In 1 Peter 1:14 and 15 from the NIT says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. It says, you didn't know any better then. Huh? You didn't know any better then. But now you must be holy in everything you do. Listen. Whether apparent or superficial, conforming to the present world system or any accommodations to its ways is fatal to the Christian life and is fatal to the impact that you can have on those that God has sent you to influence. We're called to not be conformed to this world or to this age, an age with behavior and customs that are selfish and often corrupted. Your refusal to conform to this world values, though, must go deeper than the level of behavior and customs. Listen, you cannot just say, I don't want to do that. You cannot just say, I don't want to be like that. It must go deeper. Say, how deep, Pastor? I'm going to tell you how deep. Your refusal to conform to this world can only be accomplished when you go deep enough to let your mind be renewed.
Amen.
If your mind is not being renewed, you've not gone deep enough. You may be desiring the right things. You may be wanting the right thing. You may even have a heart for the right things. But I'm telling you, if your mind not changed, you will not fully have what you want and desire. It must go deeper. You must get all the way in the river. Some of you want to put your big toe in or put your foot in or maybe even get in down to your knees, but you don't want to just totally get submerged because you want to maintain control instead of giving it up to God. You must go deeper than I want to. You must let your mind be renewed by God.
Amen.
And when your mind is renewed by God, it's not then a matter of you just overcoming something because you want to. It now becomes a part of you and it becomes a habit. And you find yourself walking in those things and doing those things that God will have you do instead of struggling to overcome those things. You must let the Holy Spirit take the word of God and renew, re-educate, and redirect your mind if your mind is going to be transformed. So we must first be living sacrifices for God. That means we live, breathe, eat, sleep, walk, talk, etc. Everything that is God.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Yes, sir.
Listen, you must live, breathe, eat, sleep, walk, talk, everything that is God. It means that you're going to stop compartmentalizing your life where you let God into some areas, but you keep him out of others. It means that God is going to be more than a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening event to you. Has to be more than that. It means that he becomes and remains the essence of everything you believe and everything you live for. And it's not just Sunday morning, it's not just Wednesday night, but it's also Friday nights when you're at home by yourself. It's also Saturday night when everybody's alone and you sneak away in your bedroom and the devil say, oh, nobody's watching.
Come on, man.
Oh, really? There is one who sits above who sees all. And he wants to renew you from whatever has captured your heart. Because he wants your heart. He wants all of you. Listen, God not only wants your heart, he wants your mind too.
Amen.
He wants your physical body. He wants everything about you to be a living sacrifice for him. Everything. God must be your life. God must be included in every part of your being. At any given time in life, most of us have areas, actually all of us, have areas that are being transformed by God and areas that are not. Any area that you shut God out of is an area that is not being transformed. But all the areas that you allow him into are being renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let God into those regions you shut him out of. Wherever he's not allowed into is an area where death and not life is present. The next step in becoming a person of impact is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To let God eradicate from you the world's way of thinking and doing things. To stop copying the customs and behaviors of this age. But to do that, your mind must be renewed. And the last thing I want to talk about this morning that makes us people of impact is relying on the God-given gifts and abilities that we have. Relying on the God-given gifts and abilities that he has given us. Paul in these verses encourages us to serve God and serve others by using the gifts and abilities that God has given us. The New Testament speaks of what I believe to be three sets of gifts that are present in the church. In 1 Corinthians 12, we find what is commonly referred to as gifts of the Spirit. These are Holy Spirit manifestations. They are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, the gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecies, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. In Ephesians 4, we find gifts known as the fivefold ministry gifts. These gifts are men and women that are given by Jesus to the church as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Gifts given to the church by the Son to build up and equip the saints for ministry. But perhaps the least known and least talked about gifts are the gifts that we find here listed in Romans 12. These gifts are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, and mercy. These gifts are commonly referred to as creation or motivational gifts. The gifts given to us, to man, by God the Father in our creation. So Scripture teaches us that each member of the Godhead gives gifts to man. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts of Jesus, the Son, in Ephesians. And the gifts of the Father, as we find here in Romans 12. The gifts that most of us know about, that most of us here preached about from 1 Corinthians 12 in Ephesians are gifts that are primarily unique to the church. But the gifts and abilities that are listed in Romans 12 are given to man by God at creation. That means there are people that are not in the body of Christ. They have God-given gifts that they're not using for God. They're using for the world. Gifts that God the Father gave to be used in serving him and in serving one another. He just put them in us at creation. We commonly see these gifts of creation being used by people outside the church for personal gain or to propagate the behavior and customs of this world. Gifts and abilities that were given by God the Father for his glory are being used for this age. Examples. I believe that many people out there that are so-called psychics have the creative gift of prophecy that they are using according to this world. Amen. You have tremendous teachers out in the workplace who are using their gift out there instead of in here. Now, I thank God that we have gifted teachers in the workplace. All right. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying I wish they'd use it out there and in here. All right. You have some amazingly gifted men and women who are great leaders in the world. And they're great leaders because of a God-given gift or ability that he put in them. And it's being used for personal gain instead of to advance the kingdom of God. You have people that have an amazing gift of service. They just want to serve. They want to help out there in the world. They're using that gift out there. They're serving, but they're not serving the church. There are people who have a large capacity to give. And they give to everything but the work of the body of Christ. People gifted with the ability to encourage others. Some of them are comedians. Amen. Think about it. They make you laugh. They make you feel good. What if they took that gift and brought it into the church and aligned themselves with the Spirit of God and with the Word? You have some people in the world who shows more mercy than some Christians do.
Come on, man.
Where did they get that from? Where did they get it from? They got it from God. When we, the church, begin to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us for his glory, we will impact those around us like never before. When we use the gifts of God as we should, the whole body of Christ becomes stronger and more effective. Let's see how the Message Bible describes these gifts. Romans 12, 3-8 from the Message Bible says, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are or what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. That's a message in and of itself.
Amen.
Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. What does Paul mean by that? It means that I let you, the body of Christ as a whole, help determine the gift that I am to you. I don't tell you what I am. I don't tell you what I am. The body defines who I am. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us find our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger, a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much. Since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Paul said, if you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, then stick to your teaching. If you give encouragement and guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them. Ooh. Huh? That hits all of us in some ways. How many times have you started out down the road to do a good thing for someone and they begin to irritate the stew out of you? You find yourself being distressed or stressed out over them. Paul is saying, do not let that deter you. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them, but keep a smile on your face. Yes, listen, I've got to stop here, but let me say this to you. I want you to get this picture of why it's so important that you bring to this body what God has gifted you with. Think about those gifts, just those seven gifts that I just shared from Romans 12. It would be difficult for one person to embody all of those gifts. You take a prophet who is assertive. They may not make a good counselor. You take someone who's a generous giver, they might fail as a leader. That is why God put these gifts in different people and then set them in the body. That together we can all do our part, that the body of Christ may be built up and edified and equipped and sent out to do the work of the ministry. So if you do not know how God has gifted you, I want you to ask him and then allow him to show you what that gift is and show you how you can use your God-given gift or ability to build up God's family. Realize that your gifts cannot do the work of the church alone. So let's be thankful for each other. Let's be thankful for the way we are all gifted differently. And let's, listen, let's stop despising the gifts that are in other people and let's start celebrating those gifts. Lord, I thank you that Sister Nance has a gift of encouragement and she speaks to me and tell me, oh, Pastor, I love you and I appreciate what you do. You just, listen, you keep being who you are, okay? Because I need you. Amen? Don't be jealous of her. Find out your own. And then allow God to use you to touch the body of Christ and to touch the world. Allow God to enable you to be the man or woman of impact that he would have you be. Stand to your feet this morning.
We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information on our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you have a great week.